while Andre is getting the next PowerPoint up, I'd like to just thank Andre and Bogdan and a number of our translators, Peter and Hannah, who have been translating today. They took the original book in English, and I think they've done a better job than the original. This is an excellent work that they have done, and even though I can't read Polish, I looked through it and my wife looked at it at home and said, that's better than the English version. So I would like to thank Andre in particular, Bogdan and Hannah and Peter, who did a wonderful job of translating and what I think turned the English into something better in Polish. So thank you very much for making my work better.
Show the novel.
Oh, well, we'll show you the original.
This was the original.
So they've made it smaller, but still good.
Easier to handle.
Easier, you can put it in your purse and read it on the train. Also, they made it smaller. There was a lot of extra things in this book. Practical things that we included for our teachers. But talking with Andre, we're going to do another book really quickly. And Andre is going to add to that from Polish experience. And we're going to get our friends from England and Ireland in Trinidad and Fiji to also write their experiences. And again, it'll be a very practical book for people who want to experience teaching meditation to children.
Perhaps we could start, though, by just checking in a room. Those people who teach in government schools or public schools, is that what you call them in Poland, public schools? Could you put your hands up if you're public school teachers, please? Okay, thank you. And then teachers who teach in Catholic schools? Catholic schools, okay. Are there teachers who work in private schools, perhaps other private schools? Okay, independent private schools. Are they religious schools or mixed? Okay, so that gives us a good idea. I think it's important to say that we know from our point of view that the task that we set ourselves was easier for us in our Catholic schools. It was easier. And we would not be able in Australia to go into our government or public schools and introduce Christian meditation. It would not happen. And in Australia, we would not have teachers in public schools attending our lectures. That would not happen. So, perhaps in Poland, you have an opportunity that we don't have in Australia. But again, I can see that you have to look at the context of your school system. And so I wanted to say that we understand things are different for different people in different school settings. And I suppose in some ways, I'm glad that we worked in a Catholic school in Australia because, and we had a bishop who said yes, because the first thing we had to do when we made the decision to introduce Christian meditation to our students was to ask Bishop Michael's permission. He's still the boss. So there would be some bishops in Australia who perhaps would still say, look, you know, maybe, maybe not. They wouldn't be as wholeheartedly supportive of Christian meditation as Bishop Michael is. Now, that's just a reality. But we all have to work slowly. The spirit moves slowly sometimes. And if we're all committed, I think we find ways that I believe are just convincing because of what people can observe from themselves. for themselves. They may not be Christian meditators, but they see something. And after listening to Bogdan's talk then, it's a very confronting world. It's a very frightening world sometimes. The things that young people experience today and the lack of power, I guess, control that parents often have over their lives can interfere with a child's natural growing up. And so I feel a great burden sometimes that schools have to take on more and more, but I do think that we've got to do something, and I think this is a wonderful opportunity. It's an easy practice. It's not something that you have to have a university degree for. It's not something that we have to pay lots of money for. It's something that every one of us can actually present to a child and to help a child to learn to meditate. So to me it's so, if the government understood how much money we would save them in public health costs, keeping children out of mental health institutions, helping them to grow perhaps into more whole adults, I'm sure that they would suddenly tip buckets of money into this practice. They should. They really should. Because it has such an enormous potential to impact at that level. But of course, in our Christian context, it's also about nurturing the spiritual dimension of the child, bringing them to their heart where they can, I suppose, feel much more in control of their circumstances when they know that God is with them. God's not in some distant place. Got it?
And before we start the next set of slides, just a short word on what to expect tomorrow, if you're coming tomorrow to the workshop. We will progressively move to the practical on how it's actually done, leading to the last session tomorrow. Well, we will put it back to you, and about an hour will be spent you networking, talking, and hopefully brave enough to report back to the group what you will do or what a group of you will do to try and introduce meditation into your schools. And as a gift to the one that we think is very doable or a very good idea, we have, you may see that blue box, it's full of goodies. It's got a chai that you saw Father Lawrence have. All our teachers have chimes. They don't scream at the children. They ring the chime and it's like Pavlov's dogs, you know. They train them, and once the child hears a chime, they all stop. Our bishop meditates with our students all the time. He describes it as he walks in and they're like little rabbits running around. The chime goes, and they suddenly become quiet. And they sit and they do their meditation. See, when the chime goes again after meditation, they're rabbits again. But it's such a beautiful moment, and they do it naturally. So we have CDs, we have videos, we have books, we have bookmarks, and all of that's in that kit for it's a bit of a. Hopefully it will be the prize for you to think about something that you would really do, and you'll get that kit as a gift from us to take.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this session is called Lessons That We've Learned over the number of years, especially the last 7 years that the program has operated in each of our schools. Prior to that, we introduced a pilot program, so it wasn't initially set up in every school. As we said, we invited principals to send along a very, very solid teacher, someone who's recognised by other teachers as a very good teacher, to come to a professional development day. And that's where we introduced them then to the idea that we wanted to have children experience Christian meditation. And we invited them to be part of a training program and to be part of a pilot program, which lasted for about 18 months.
Yeah, the program went for 18 months. We journeyed with those 13 teachers. We had a teacher from every grade level, a preschool teacher, teacher of students of 5 years old, grade one teacher, a grade two teacher, a grade three, right up to a grade 12 teacher. So we had 13 teachers. They were judged by their headmasters or headmistress to be an excellent teacher. We didn't ask that they were meditators. We wanted them to be a good teacher, because teachers listen to their colleagues. They listen to the good teacher. What we initially did was teach them how to meditate. They were open to that, and we taught them to meditate, and they were open and they travelled with us on that journey. Then we did something really radical. We didn't have the program already set in our head. We asked those very, very good teachers, how do we teach students? So we had an expert teacher of grade one who said, oh, we could do this and this and this. And the expert teacher of the 17-year-old said, oh, no, we have to do this and this and this. So we tapped in to the genius, to the skills of our teachers. How do we best teach this prayer to students? They are the experts. They know how to teach. They knew their students. They knew what would work and what wouldn't work. So our program really came out of the efforts of very good teachers. So we know it works. And then those teachers, and then from that we built our program and we developed it, and it's going all over the world now.
And in some ways we relied on the feedback from those first pilot teachers to give us the green light to say, yes, this is something that every teacher should experience. And I liked your point, Bogdan, about teachers investing in themselves, that to become a meditating self is a goal, but we recognised, and our pilot teachers recognised, that we had all of these teachers who were there who had never meditated. So, you know, it didn't seem to make sense to us to say, well, before you start teaching children, you have to learn to meditate yourself. So we didn't insist that they become meditators initially. We just let those pilot teachers share their story and their passion, and we invited Father Lawrence out for a 3-day retreat with all of our teachers, so we had 1,200 teachers in a venue with Father Lawrence, and our pilot teachers shared their story. And really, it wasn't Father Lawrence, as marvellous as he is, it wasn't Father Lawrence who sold the message, it was our teachers. And I believe that, you know, some of the issues that Bogdan's raised that are very, very difficult issues for teachers to confront in classrooms, we have issues that are very similar. I don't believe teachers actually started at that level though. I think they recognise the potential for this practice to have, if you like, a great humanising impact on our students. But they did begin at the level of, my colleague, that teacher standing up there has done this for 18 months and is now telling me that this is having a wonderful impact on the students in his or her classroom. And therefore, every teacher sitting in that auditorium that day was convinced. They were convinced by their colleagues. So we've moved a very long way down the track now. We have a document called a position statement, and really this formalises, if you like, Christian meditation. So if you're a new teacher, you get a package of material, our policy statements, you know, the things you need to know that if you want to work in our schools, these are the expectations that you're going to have to take on board. And this is one of them. So a new teacher who comes into our system will see this document. In the document, there's a message from our bishop. We talk about our Catholic context. We talk about the Christian contemplative tradition. We give clear guidelines for teaching Christian meditation, and we emphasise the very inclusive nature of this prayer practice. Because we're not going to be saying to teachers, if you have a student with autism, send them out of the classroom while you do a meditation. No, just the opposite. Every child can meditate. Give them the opportunity to meditate. So we see it, as Annie said this morning, as a very inclusive prayer. And the students themselves, it does create community because nobody's giving them a mark. Nobody's, they've got their eyes closed anyway. And surprisingly, students don't peep. You know, they don't open their eyes in the middle to see what everybody else is doing. The only experience that I'd share with you was a St. Michael's School, Palm Island, our Aboriginal school. Palm Island is a very, very sad place. It has significant sexual abuse of students, very young students. And so a high proportion of the students in that school will suffer and do suffer from sexual abuse from an adult on Palm Island. Now, many of those children, having to close your eyes would be a very threatening thing. So initially the teachers there recognised that this was, you know, you couldn't force the children to close their eyes. So some students didn't want to close their eyes to start with, and nobody insisted on that. But the really amazing thing is that eventually they moved very comfortably to closing their eyes. We can never imagine the great degree of trust that those students had to develop to get to that point. But now it's not an issue. Sexual abuse is still an issue, I have to say, but students in the school understand that meditation means they can close their eyes and nobody's going to do something to them.
Just on the in the back of that,
we've got some of these for people to take. We haven't got a lot, but if you want one, you can have one. It's in English.
Yeah, it's the English version, but you have your other one. On the back of this particular document, we have what our office, so what in my position, what Kathy will do, and my team of religious education coordinators will do to support schools and teachers. We give them that assurance. Then we ask what we say, we call the principal, and you say the headmaster or headmistress here. We then have, with very clear expectations, what the headmaster will do to make sure that meditation is happening in that school. It's interesting now, after 9 years, we introduced this 9 years ago with the pilot. Until last year, I have had not one complaint to our office about introducing meditation to our schools. Last year was the first time, after 9 years, that I had complaints, and I had two in a row. Only time. It wasn't what I expected. The mother was on the phone, very angry, and said, "Are you Mr. Christie?" "Yes." "Are you responsible for meditation in our schools?" And I said, "Yes, and Kathy Day is, and the bishop is." I was taking the phone call. And they said, "Well, I've got a complaint." I said, "Yes, I'll listen." I said, "I have three children in Catholic schools. My child in grade 7 is meditating. My child in grade 3 is meditating. My child in grade 5 isn't meditating. What are you going to do about it?" So I will fix that. And afterwards, I rang the prince, the headmaster, and said, "Hey, I've just got a complaint. One of your parents just rang me. So what's happening? You need to go and talk to your 5 teacher because they're not meditating with their kids, and the mother wants their kids meditating." And the second complaint was exactly the same from another school. They are the only time. Only. And we have some very conservative schools in very conservative parishes. We have some liberal schools. We have some schools that are 50% Catholic and 50% non-Catholic. But no complaints. None. Parents do not mind us teaching their children to be still and silent. They like it. And one more story. One of my friends, I play squash regularly. I'm not sure. Squash with a little ball. I play with him regularly. He has a son, Noah, who goes to one of our schools. Now, this man I play with, I'm sure he has an adult attention deficit disorder. He's really a go-getter of a man. And he said, "What are you doing in your schools?" And I said, "What, mate?" You know, he said, "Noah, on the way to school, asked me to turn the radio off because he wanted to be quiet and meditate on the way to school. What are you doing?" And so this has started to move by itself, and the children are teaching their parents. And then finally, we have the expectations of the teacher, what we expect the teacher to do in relation to Christian meditation. So we make our expectations very clear, and then we support it. Right, we keep the message simple. Meditation is simple. We, as adults, are complicated. But we need to keep the teaching simple and consistent. All our teachers can recite to you what the teaching is. Again, the simplicity of the practice is one of the things we emphasise. The prayer word, mantra, if you like, Maranatha, is a sacred Christian prayer. As Lawrence told you, it's in Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke. Paul uses it to finish off the letter to the Corinthians, and it's also found in the book of Revelation. So it's a very significant and an ancient Christian prayer. Simply means, "Come Lord." We teach that same prayer phrase to all our students. And that's the one, they've accepted it, no questions asked, they just do it. Even young students can accept the simplicity of the prayer word.
I'm going to learn Polish the next time I visit. I'm sure that'll be easy. Not. The instruction is simple and we keep it consistent. So we don't want teachers making up their own prayer word or saying, "Oh, I'm going to do it differently." It's consistent in every school, in every classroom. So the instructions are clear, as you can read from the statement up there. Would you like to read it, Andre?
Uspokajam się i siadam, wyprostowuję kręgosłup, przymykam oczy i kładę dłonie na kolana, wyciszam się, oddychając wolno i głęboko. Jestem spokojny, ale też uważny. Zaczynam powtarzać cicho mantrę. Nie przestaję powtarzania mantry, skupiam się na niej. Jeśli mnie coś rozproszy, powracam do powtarzania mantry. Jak zabrzmi dzwonek, pomału otwieram oczy. Dziękuję Bogu za bycie przy mnie w ciszy.
It's vital to get the support of your church leaders. As Kathy said, we are very fortunate in our diocese, we're fortunate in Australia that our Cardinal Bell, a very influential church leader, is now one of the patrons of the world community for Christian meditation, as is our Bishop Michael Putney. So I suppose all the planets line up for us. The Vicar General in our diocese, Father Mick Locock, did retreat with Father Lawrence a number of years ago in Oliveto and in Father Lawrence's mother house, an ancient Benedictine mother house in Oliveto in Tuscany. And he came back and influenced many of our priests. And our bishop and Father Lawrence have run retreats for priests on Christian meditation. So we have support from a very high level, and we have and our priests will, they may not meditate, they don't stop it in our schools, and they're happy for it to happen.
And for those of you working in public schools, I mean, you ask yourself the question, well, who is the influential person? Who's the person who has the power to stop this or say, go ahead, that I will have to sit down and talk with and have a conversation with? Who is that person? And, you know, again, got to seek their support. And some people are easily convinced, others are not. So you have to work out how to be influential when you're going to sit down and have a conversation with these people.
We don't want to invoke a revolution. But you are influential. In Sydney, our biggest city in Australia and the capital of New South Wales, at first there was a very slow take-up of Christian meditation. But grandmothers, they were the leaders, the grandmothers. And then the mothers, then the fathers, continually went to Cardinal Pell and said, no, we want this. They continually went and they influenced the Cardinal, and now this very big community in Sydney are winning through, and Cathy will be presenting a big conference to their teachers. So it's moving, and they could have said, no, we'll let it go, but they felt it was too important, and they kept fighting the fight, and they kept on putting reasons why we should do it. But in particular, there's a number of grandmothers who were really influential.
Grandmothers are good
to do it. So if you're a grandmother here, you've got a lot of power.
Christian meditation is based on scripture, and scripture can be enriched through Christian meditation. Nearly all meditation times, we begin with the scripture reading, or we close with the scripture reading. We have worked with a friend who lives in Brisbane, at the capital city of our state, who's a religious musician. He writes music for religious education sessions and other things. And this is a resource that we've developed with him. And it's an easy thing. Sometimes, if you're away ill as a teacher or you're on leave, a new teacher can come in. They can just pick this up and put it in a CD player, and it automatically runs through. In fact, students can manage it and run it themselves. So we just thought we'd see if this would work. Yes.
Yeah, right, so we're going to, this is age level.
Nine-year-olds.
Okay, so this one was developed for nine-year-old students. It has a scripture reading and a blessing, and it has a timed, exactly 9 minutes of meditation. So
just experience it, and if the translators could read what the scripture is when you hear them reading it, please.
And just go and move into a meditation.
Charge. forget. I will never forget you. Look, I have written your names on the palms of my hands. Thank you.
So that would be one little meditation session for 9-year-olds, and that little resource has been developed so the teachers have access to that. They don't have to use that resource, but we've tried to give them things that make life easy for them, and they like it.
And there's about 6 or 7 different scripture readings on the one CD. And a lot of teachers now have developed that, and they even speak on it, and they make their own. And they sometimes get the students to, and the students devise their own blessing at the end. And they add prayers, vocal prayers, to complement meditation. But there is authoritative teaching on contemplative prayer found in places such as the Catholic Catechism. These translations are a little loose here, so bear with us. But the next 3 slides are quotes from the Catechism. Our whole religious program in Australia must be based on the Catechism. Our religious education curriculum must be based on the Catechism. And these quotes are very... people don't realise just how poetic and beautiful the Catechism can be. And if you've never read what the Catechism says on contemplative prayer, then I really urge you to go and do that. It's a bigger section than there is on vocal prayer. And many Catholics are uneducated about what the Catechism actually says about contemplative prayer. Yeah, we'll let you read the quotes. Oh, sorry, these are quotes. Would you like to? Yeah.
Would you like to read?
Kontemplacja jest milczeniem, symbolem świata, który nadchodzi, lub milczącą miłością. Słowa w kontemplacji nie mają charakteru dyskursywnego, lecz są niczym iskry, które zapalają ogień miłości. Paragraf 2717.
The other thing that we like to encourage schools to do and teachers to engage their students with is to learn about the charism of the founding orders of their schools. We don't have very many religious working in schools in Australia. In fact, we don't have, I think we have one sister who's a chaplain, but we don't have them teaching in our classrooms anymore. They're doing other works. But we like to honour the tradition of the foundation, the founding orders, so the Christian brothers, the Schneider sisters, the Benedictine sisters, and the school learned about the charism of that order, naturally with Christian meditation, the Benedictine charism is very strong. However, we feel that there is nothing contradictory about Benedictine prayer, Christian meditation prayer, in a Jesuit school. It doesn't mean to say that the school wouldn't give, I guess, honour to the examen and other Jesuit forms of prayer, but Christian meditation in the Benedictine tradition can be followed as well. So we don't specifically say you must stop any reference to what is a very strong foundation in your school. And we don't think that it's confusing because teachers understand the difference and good teachers are able to explain that very clearly to their students.
Just recently I was opened our newest school in the diocese in a town called Proserpine, which is about 300 kilometres from Townsville. And the community went through a discernment process with their parish priest. Of course, there was no founding order for the school. And Kathy and I presented Benedictine charism, Franciscan charism, and the Jesuit Ignatian charism. And then over a whole year, the community discerned what would be the charism that would really suit them, and they chose the Jesuit, the Ignatian spirituality, and their head mistress had been working about 6 months looking at the charism of the Jesuits and linking it with Christian meditation, and now the school has beautiful posters that marry the two, and it's a lovely effort where the community, the people in that town have all gone together, and now they really own this new charism that is the school that's in the heart of their town. So it's been a lovely process.
And the other, I guess, way of depthing the practice, apart from scripture, is also the teachings of the saints and mystics, to use their words. And the names of our schools are often named in honour of saints. So we will certainly, for example, St. Teresa of Lisieux has some beautiful teaching that is on contemplative prayer. And we have one school that's St. Teresa's, based on St. Teresa of Lisieux. And that school has a very strong tradition of referencing St. Teresa's words as part of their meditation program.
And of course, we work with the words of Father John Main and Lawrence Freeman. And there's two of Lawrence's quotes up there. One, the prayer of the heart, contemplative prayer, meditation, is essentially the prayer of faith. In silence, we accept that God knows our needs and that this knowledge is the love which creates and will eventually complete us. And this is my favourite John Main quote. If you, and I know Bolton is going upon his journey to be an oblate, and I'm a Benedictine oblate. You go through a process of a novitiate year and a postulancy year, and eventually take vows as a lay order within the Benedictine tradition. So, and I wish Bogdan all the very best as he journeys along that one. But Bogdan, when you finally make your final vows, this particular quote from John Main is part of the ceremony, and I particularly like this one. It's my favourite John Main quote. And Andre, are you a oblate yet? Oh, well, maybe.
Mantra jest niczym igła kompasu, która zawsze wskazuje Ci kierunek Twojego przeznaczenia. Pokazuje właściwą drogę, którą musisz podążać. Z dala od Twojego ego w kierunku Boga.
And we saw this slide earlier and mentioned our Gospel Values poster. It's a big poster that's presented to each school. And we have a formation program for staff that looks at each of the values that Jesus teaches us. And of course, then that's used as part of the teaching with students as well. But all of these things have come, I guess, about because there's a lot of thinking going on about how we want to reach our teachers and work with our teachers and how they want to reach students. So it's a very different emphasis today, I believe, in terms of how we focus on the spiritual development of our students and our staff than it was prior to the introduction of Christian meditation. We have a syllabus called the Religious Education Guidelines, and that was what we focused on. Now we've got a whole new agenda, and it's a very rich and rewarding place to be, and I certainly encourage you in what you're going to be doing in your schools. We've got some more?
No, that's it.
Yes.
We might let you have a little pause since we've been talking today. You haven't had much chance to talk amongst yourselves. So could you have 5 minutes where you turn to the people near you